Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Active Quest episode 90. I'm proud of that. 90 episodes. That's pretty good.
That's a lot of episodes.
That's several. It's like 80 episodes, but then 10 more. It's crazy. God. I'm one of your hosts, Joseph Yaden. Joining me today is the beautiful British boy, Chris Kenwell. Hello, Chris.
Ba 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 ba. I'm loving this podcast.
Yeah, I suppose so. Although, maybe it's a little preemptive to say that because we just started and there's a train wreck ahead of us, perhaps.
So, we'll see. And you know what? I'm not loving it at the same time because we don't have our Josh boy here today.
We don't have Josh. His power's out, I guess. I don't really know what's going on over there.
It's craziness going over.
He's been having internet problems, I know, for a while. And then his power ran out, too. So, I don't know. I hope that gets sorted out soon, because we do have our Resident Evil 4 episode we're doing on Wednesday, so hopefully it gets worked out by then. Anyway, Chris, how are you?
I'm doing okay. Holding in there. It's in this COVID time.
Sure.
Yeah, so, we're dealing with it right now, but we'll get through it together.
Sure, and your cough seems to be pretty much gone.
Yes.
So that's awesome.
It's pretty much gone, so I'm happy about that. I'm getting back to speed. So, Just put out a really cool Shadow of the Colossus piece that went up on Game Grooves, so check that out.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was reflecting on the music of the game 15 years later, you know, because it's just hit its 15th anniversary.
That's miraculous, and it makes me feel very old. Although, yes. Chris, I will say, save your plugs for the end of the show. Look at you
trying
to get in there
early.
Look at that. Well, so we appreciate everybody for joining us today. Remember, you can always find us pretty much anywhere where podcasts are available. Get a hold of us on Twitter at ActiveQuestShow or email us at ActiveQuestPodcast@gmail.com. I'm taking a moment to get adjusted here. I just got two new monitors, and they're just comically too big for my desk, but I'm not gonna switch them out. I've committed to it, and I'm probably gonna be blind by the end of this week, so
you gotta get those gunners.
When I used to work at GameStop, we sold those, and I thought those were the most ridiculous things. they look like glasses you would wear if you were like piloting a helicopter or something.
Yeah,
they're just like silly, like, I don't know,
very strange.
Anyway, what else, Chris? Leave us nice reviews. Really helps us out. You force Chris to have to play Red Dead, and then eventually I'll have to play Kingdom Hearts if we get to, what is it, 30 reviews?
Yeah, something like that. 50, yeah.
30, I don't know.
It'd be nice. Just give us a review,
just,
and then
just
we'll...
Just a nice...
Just yeah. Satisfy Joseph enough to make him play Kingdom Hearts. That'd be great.
Sure.
And then I'll be streaming some Red Dead Redemption 2 as well. I'll be getting back on the saddle for that.
I love that. Back on the saddle.
Mm-hmm.
So a bit of a lighter news week this week. Several like little quick announcements, quick little releases, that sort of thing. We did get the full list of Xbox Series X launch titles finally. So that's really exciting. And honestly, dude, like, launch titles are usually mediocre to bad.
Yeah.
The list is awesome.
It's a very long list. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that'll be interesting to jump into. What else? NPD results were out. So that's always exciting for me, at least. You guys can sleep through that portion, I guess.
And it answers a question we had previously, in a way.
That's true. That's a good point. And we'll get into that. And then the surprise state of play that launched just randomly on a Thursday or Wednesday or whenever it was. Showing off the PS5's UI. So we'll jump into that. Listener question to jump into as well. And then I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima Legends, which is the new multiplayer expansion for Ghost of Tsushima. It's been pretty fun. Chris, you are making my heart happy because you're playing Resident Evil 3. Even though that's not my favorite entry, but I love Resident Evil nonetheless. And you've been playing Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory, the demo at least.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll dive into that as well. Chris, we've been discussing how we both need haircuts.
Yes.
Obviously, I'm not cutting my hair on my head, but my beard is just, it's a mess, and it's honestly surprising that it's gotten to this point. I should have taken care of it weeks ago. I look like a pirate, but not good. It's not good.
And then Chris, you look like a budget Jack Sparrow.
I love it.
That was mean. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. And then what's going on your end over there? You're not having luck with the swoop.
I don't like this quiff situation. No, the swoof. Yeah, I hate it. Yeah, it's not nice. It's great.
It doesn't really sit.
Looks greasy and nasty.
It doesn't really sit on one side or the other. It seems like it doesn't know where to go.
No, exactly. And, yeah. You know, I don't want to give anyone the scare by coughing on them, you know, right now. So,
sure, have to wait. Yeah, I understand. Yeah, you just blame it on COVID. Just blame everything on COVID. Sure. All right, let's do some quick notes here. Really, this will just be rapid fire. Mass Effect Legendary Edition has been raided in South Korea. I mean, I feel like we cover this at least once a month.
Yeah.
So that's a thing. You guys can look forward to that. I hope it comes to Switch. I know Jeff Grubb said something like it won't be coming to Switch, or at least not immediately, so hopefully that's a thing.
The Burnout one came out a few months afterwards, you know? So perhaps we could see the Switch version at some point. I do hope we see other EA games though, like Dead Space or the Dragon Age games.
Never heard of Dead Space. The Outer Worlds sequel seemingly in the works.
This is
just according to Daniel Amad. He put out a tweet that said, "Last I heard, a new entry in the franchise is being explored, currently in pre-production. Could change into something else, of course, but this is the current status." He's pretty reputable, so that's, I mean, and especially with how well that game did critically and commercially, I think we'll definitely see
that.
I like that game.
Yeah, it was a great game. I played it on a low-end PC, so maybe on the Series X or Series S or something, I'll replay it and really give it a go again.
Mm-hmm. I played it on a potato.
Yeah.
AKA the Switch. Dude, honestly, like, I had to stop playing it because it looked that bad. Like, it's remarkable how bad that game looks on Switch. I don't know. It might be better now. I think they may have patched it, but anyway.
And I'm just going to say, Parvati is one of my favorite characters.
She is awesome. Yeah. She is really, really funny. What else? Chris Tales got delayed to 2021, which is sad because that was supposed to come out in November. This game looks beautiful. I got to preview it at E3, I guess it would have been 2019. And what a game. It's really cool. It's just like a side-scrolling sort of JRPG, but this beautiful art style. And what's really cool is the time-traveling element where you can, like, alter the past and it'll change the future.
You can see them at the same time, right? So what you're affecting in the past directly affects the present. And I remember them saying that they had an apology letter. And they said in the letter that it was like developing three different games at once.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bit challenging.
And the screen is like split up into three parts. We're probably doing a horrible job of explaining it, but trust us, this game looks really cool.
Beautiful 2D art as well. So if you're missing Lab-Zero games, then this might be a good one to pick up too.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Josh isn't with us to rave about Xbox Game Pass, but hopefully we'll do it justice here. A bunch of classic LucasArts games are coming to Xbox Game Pass. Let me check the date on this just to make sure I'm giving you the right info. October 29th, we're getting... Where's the full list? Oh, here we go. We're getting Day of the Tentacle, Full Throttle, and Grim Fandango. Nice. I don't like any of those. I don't like any of those games, but I know a lot of people do, so you guys can all enjoy that. What else? Destiny 2's free next-gen upgrade will arrive in December. Let's get the date for that one. Well, let's see. So it's going to run at 60 frames, 4K.
Nice.
December 8th. December 8th is when that comes out.
Great.
So you Destiny nerds can look forward to that.
Yeah, slight delay, but, you know, that's cool.
Yeah. And I'm loving all of these free upgrades.
Me too.
I think that's great. And it really makes it makes those games that aren't having free upgrades stand out a lot, you know? Like, it's a tough subject, but anyway, go ahead.
The thing is, like, we don't need remasters or remakes of PS4 games like we did with PS3, you know? So I think it's unprecedented to see all these upgrades on previous gen systems on current gen. And there's a bit more competition for the launch lineup.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Yeah, I'm with you on that. You've got to wonder, though, like, what does it cost to get a next-gen game ready? Like an upgrade. That's got to cost a lot of money, right?
Oh, yeah.
For a developer and a publisher. So I wonder how much they're eating on that, like, if it's really bad for them. I mean, evidently not, or else, like, I guess they wouldn't do it. But
it would make sense if they want to build a community around it. Like, Destiny 2 is perfect. You know,
that's a good example.
Keep that going. You know, seeing 60 frames a second, 4K is like, oh, maybe I'll come back to the game. Maybe I'll check out the expansions and stuff. You know, so it's smart. Yeah.
So we got a full list of the launch titles for Xbox Series X and S. Let's run through all of them here. It's like kind of a lengthy list. And honestly, like, this launch lineup is fantastic. So here we go. Alphabetically in order: Assassin's Creed Valhalla, Borderlands 3, Bright Memory 1.0, Cuisine Royale, Dead by Daylight, Devil May Cry 5 Special Edition, Dirt 5, Enlisted, Evergate, The Falconeer, which The Falconeer is really cool. It's developed by one guy. It's not really for me, but I think it's a cool game, cool concept. Fortnite, Forza Horizon 4, Gears 5, Gears Tactics, Grounded, King Oddball, Maneater, which I still have to play the full version. I played a demo of that at PAX, and then that's it. I think we tried to get a code, and we didn't get it.
Yeah,
then,
yeah.
It just kind of went under the radar. Manifold Garden, NBA 2K21, Observer System Redux, Ori and the Will of the Wisps, Planet Coaster, Sea of Thieves, Tetris Effect Connected, that's the multiplayer expansion. Well, the base game and the expansion. The Tourist, War Thunder, Warhammer Chaos Bane Slayer Edition, Watch Dogs Legion, WRC9 FIA World Rally Championship, Yakuza Like a Dragon, Yes, Your Grace. That's the full launch lineup. What are the standouts for you, Chris?
Yakuza, I think, would be a standout just because that's Xbox Series X exclusive for next gen. For now, I think it's a timed exclusive for the first few months.
Yeah.
But it will also come out on PS4 and Xbox One. So yeah, that's one standout. Gears Tactics is another one. That's apparently got really good visuals to it. So it's releasing coincide with the PC and Xbox One. So there's that. I think it's a good list of third party games. Yeah, the Halo Infinite is definitely missing. Like, you could definitely feel it. You know?
Sure. Yeah, that's fair. But I mean, Game Pass in and of itself, I think, is a lot of people probably find that compelling enough to get the system.
To be honest, that auto HDR is a big thing for me. Like, for me to get an Xbox, because I'd love to see all those old games getting a new paint on over them. I guess with like different lighting and stuff.
Sure. Yeah. For me, I would say if I were getting an Xbox, Forza Horizon 4 for sure. Tetris Effect Connected.
Yeah.
Yakuza Like a Dragon, and what's a game? I mean, Fortnite is free, so that's not really an issue. Assassin's Creed Valhalla kind of looks interesting. Grounded's really cool. There's some good games here. See
if and if you haven't played Gears 5 yet, it runs at 120 hertz, I believe, on Xbox Series X. So I don't know, that's definitely sounding enticing, because that's a beautiful game.
Sure. So that's it for the quick stuff. Chris, you ready to do some news?
I am so ready.
Let's jump into some news. Okay, so first story here, this is interesting, and again, no Josh with us here to sort of break down this Xbox stuff, so hopefully we'll do him justice here. So there was an interview between Phil Spencer and Kotaku here, and the article we actually have, we'll link to the Kotaku story, but we've actually got a story from VG247. Xbox can recoup $7.5 billion dollar Bethesda investment without going multi-platform, says Spencer, Phil Spencer. So let's just read through this and then we'll talk about it. Quote, oh, and by the way, this is by Stephanie Nunnally.
Nunnally. Yes, or something.
Nunnally. Thank you. It reads, quote, Xbox boss, Phil Spencer, is confident Microsoft can recoup the funds spent on acquiring Bethesda without the studio's games on other consoles. Speaking with Kotaku, Spencer said, quote, yes, Microsoft will be able to recoup its $7.5 billion investment without releasing Bethesda games such as Elder Scrolls 6 on other consoles. Quote, I don't want to be flip about that. This deal was not done to take games away from another player base like that, he said. Quote, nowhere in the documentation that we put together was, quote, how do we keep other players from playing these games, end quote. We want more people to be able to play these games, not fewer people to be able to go play games. Quote, but I'll also say in the model, I'm just answering directly the question that you had. When I think about where people are going to be playing and the number of devices that we had, and we have xCloud and PC and Game Pass on our console base, I don't have to go ship those games on any platform other than the platforms that we support in order to kind of make the deal work for us, whatever that means, end quote. When the acquisition was announced, Microsoft said that all current contracts signed by Bethesda will be honored. This means exclusivity deals for the titles Deathloop and Ghostwire Tokyo will be honored. So, while Spencer never came out and explicitly said every single Bethesda or ZeniMax game would be a console exclusive, it's quite possible PS5 players won't be able to play the next Fallout or Elder Scrolls game on their system, end quote. Yeah. I mean, I think we kind of thought, like, a lot of us were figuring that.
Mm-hmm.
I think, what did they say? Something like it'd be evaluated on a case-by-case basis, I think is what they said.
Right.
So, yeah. If you're gonna spend that much money on something, yeah, you're gonna make your games exclusive, don't you think?
I think so, yeah. But the whole idea of Xbox Game Pass is to have it on as many consoles and platforms as possible, you know. I feel like, when the next Elder Scrolls comes out, it'll be more accessible. Like you could probably stream it on your TV, smart TV or something, or your phone or your browser, as well as Xbox and PC. So I think
they're
trying to open it up. I could even see them working with Nintendo maybe and having Xbox Game Pass there as a streaming kind of option too. Nintendo was open to that, you know? But yeah, I feel yes, they have the right to make it exclusive. You know, maybe if they do, maybe it will run better. I don't know. Maybe it will be optimized for that system. So there's a positive there. So yeah, it's just, I think it will boost Xbox's first party lineup. And I think that'll be a huge get.
Yeah. This isn't surprising at all to me. To your point, yeah, if it's not coming to PlayStation, that sucks. And like, there's a lot of PlayStation players, but look at how many spots Microsoft is in right now. I mean, like you said, they've got PC, they've got their Game Pass on the consoles, obviously. They're gonna start rolling this stuff out on phones. It's not like it's literally just gonna be on Xbox and that's your only option. Times are changing, I guess, right? And so there are plenty of other avenues to get your hands on the next Fallout or whatever the case might be. And honestly, like, I think it's awesome for them. And I'm somebody who I don't own an Xbox. So, you know, take that however you'd like. But I think this is good for them, and I wouldn't mind playing the next Elder Scrolls whatever on PC through Game Pass. I think that's fine.
And honestly, I think Bethesda might be better managed under Microsoft, to be completely honest. You know? So I think this will make for better games, even though it's not available on PlayStation.
Yeah.
Necessarily.
Yeah. I'm with you on that. But yeah, this wasn't surprising when I saw this. A lot of people were like, what? And I'm like, well, yeah, they spent $7.5 billion. Like,
I could see them doing like, oh, this is a 1-year exclusive.
Yeah.
And then do like that goodwill move where like, oh, it's available today on PlayStation.
That's the other thing too. Xbox has been like the good guy for the past few years. Seeing them take these games away from PlayStation players kind of is like a weird move. So I think maybe you're right. Maybe it'll be timed exclusive, but at the end of the day, they own the IP now and they can do whatever they want. So
exactly.
Yeah. All right, Chris, let's talk about NPD. Matt Piscatella put out the thread of best-selling games for the month of September, and the results might surprise you. Let me get the full list here. Yeah, here we go. So we'll just do top 10. Typically, they do top 20, but we'll just cover the top 10.
Okay.
In order, best-selling games in the United States. And by the way, some of these, most of these games are digital and physical. Nintendo games are only physical. They don't count digital,
right?
Digital sales. And then also NBA, 2K, I guess, only counts physical sales as well. So anyway, here's the list in order. Marvel's Avengers at number 1, Super Mario 3D All-Stars number 2, Madden NFL 21 at number 3, Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 1 and 2 at number 4, NBA 2K21 number 5, Call of Duty Modern Warfare number 6, Crusader Kings, wow, at number 7, Animal Crossing New Horizons at number 8, Star Wars Squadrons at number 9, and then rounding out the list is Mario Kart 8 Deluxe at number 10. So, the big standout is Marvel's Avengers, but we'll get into that in just a second. I just wanted to note here how crazy this is. So, you've got Super Mario 3D All-Stars, Animal Crossing New Horizons, and Mario Kart 8 Deluxe all within the top 10, and those are all Nintendo.
Yep.
Those are all Nintendo games. And those are only physical copies counted. So if they were counting digital sales, that list might look a little bit different. Don't mm-hmm. you think?
Yeah, I agree.
Or, you know, the games would be up a little bit. Oh, and also I did want to mention, before we get into the main point here, that Crash Bandicoot 4 It's About Time debuted at number 11. So that's a little lower than I thought, but
when
at least
did
it
that
made
come
the top
out?
20. Oh, you know what? I thought that came out in October.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's a really good point. Here, let's look up. Oh, I wonder what the deal is with that. I wonder
October
why
2nd.
That's on. Interesting. I wonder why. I wonder why that's on the September list. That's
maybe
really
some stores broke release date.
Maybe. Interesting. So then, really, that's not that bad because. I imagine, okay, then maybe in October we'll see that chart a little bit higher. Interesting, because it probably, people were probably buying it at the end of the month or something. I don't know. Anyway, okay, so let's talk about this. This is really impressive, I think. Marvel's Avengers at number 1. I was wrong. That's flat out, I was wrong. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I think Avengers has the opportunity to be like Ghost Recon Wildlands, where it's like, it's successful. But we don't know it. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah.
It's right. Like it's got a base of players, but it's I don't know. Like it's selling well, but we don't know about it.
Yeah.
But I honestly think the Marvel name carries a lot of weight,
sure.
And that's why a lot of people bought it. It's the set like PlayStation Lifestyle here, Brianna Reeves, she's saying that it's the second best launch of a superhero title in US history. So it's pretty massive.
Wow.
I think that's just second to Marvel Spider-Man film in
yeah.
Insomniac.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's pretty nuts. Weren't expecting
yeah.
that, especially with the critical response it was getting.
Right. And but, it's just nuts because like the like people have dropped off of that game so
yep.
fast. Like, I mean, myself included, you, I think, as well, right? We pretty much finished it. We did a little bit of the multiplayer stuff, and then that's it. So, I guess what I'm saying is, I'm curious to see what kind of tail this game has. Like, if it continues to chart throughout the rest of the year, or if next month it's, like, totally gone. I don't know. But
it's gonna be I think it's gonna tail off for a bit, but
mm-hmm.
now that So that there's probably about 2 million, 3 million people that have a copy of the game now.
You know? Oh, really? Okay.
So that's
yeah,
what I'm thinking
know.
Because Tony Hawk had about 1 million sales, right? From what we've been hearing, or over a million.
Well, yeah, but you have to remember those numbers are, I think, worldwide.
Oh, okay. Oh,
and this is
that's
the
a
U.S.
game.
Yeah, this is the U.S. I. That's the thing, man. I hate not knowing how many copies of a game have sold, because it's really hard to quantify like how well something is doing. Because that's up to the publisher to disclose that information. But nonetheless, I was wrong about Marvel's Avengers. I was sure that game was gonna not bomb exactly, but not do as well. The other one I wanted to mention, Super Mario 3D All-Stars, at number two, man, those are all older games.
Yep.
It's pretty miraculous, I think. And maybe Nintendo's tactic of you know, the limited release sort of marketing around it helped.
Made me buy
what
it.
What else? Sure, I bought it. It despite how disappointing it is. That's the other thing, too. A lot of these games, like, I don't know, are kind of disappointing, I guess. Marvel's Avengers, Super Mario All-Stars. That, I guess my point is that this isn't necessarily indicative of how good a game is. It's just sales, you know?
Well, yeah, the Transformers movies are excellent, but they're crap movies.
Right, yeah. So anyway, congrats to Nintendo. Man, they're in the top 20, like, consistently.
All the time.
I mean, yeah, new Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe, Breath of the Wild, Super Mario Odyssey, Super Mario Party. I mean, the Switch is just a fucking monster.
Grand Theft Auto is gone. Absolutely gone.
Yeah, and it has been for the past few months.
Yeah.
Very fascinating. Cool. So shout out to Square Enix and Crystal Dynamics. All right, and then, yeah, let's just talk about this UI story here, the PS5's UI. There was a video that came out earlier in the week, and we got to see the UI. To me, like, it was cool to see, and it was kind of like, okay, finally we know what this is going to look like. There wasn't really anything that, like, jumped out at me too much. The, you know, the sort of, like, quick resume stuff where you can, you know, quickly jump between games. That's, you know, that's expected with the SSD.
Seemed faster than the Xbox, in my opinion, from what we saw.
Yeah. The other thing are these, they have the, basically, it's like the XMB. It's not called that anymore. I guess it's called the Control Center. And there are these cards that they have now. And it's really interesting because you can use these cards to track your progress in a game, or like even some of them had like guides attached to them.
I didn't like that. I did not respond well to that. Like, trying to take our jobs here, PlayStation?
Oh, yeah, that's true. I think what it's going to come down to is a developer by developer basis, and like,
yeah, I don't think they're going to adopt it.
Yeah, I can't imagine a developer team, you know, a development team is going to, you know, allocate resources to doing
it. Hey, if you need someone to write it or take a video, developers, so I'm down.
Yeah, maybe they can devote a portion of their team to that. There's also the picture-in-picture mode, which is kind of cool. It's so funny because a lot of these things that are, a lot of these features were already implemented with the Xbox One, you know, when it first launched. So it's kind of funny. We got to see the new like share features, which looked kind of interesting. I'm just looking through the quick list here. Stop me if there's anything that jumps out at you, because I don't. Honestly, like, it wasn't really, like, I wasn't blown away or anything. I was just like, cool, that we know what it's going to look like.
I think the picture-in-picture could help people. Yeah. Like, for example, Demon's Souls, I could see you showing me how to get through a boss or something, and I can just see what you're doing and then follow what you're doing.
Yeah, that's a good point. I feel like a lot of these features were promised with the PS4 and then they never really came to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a little bit like, that's why I'm so like, not dismissive, but I'm not as excited, I guess, as maybe I should be, because I feel like a lot of this stuff won't come to even be. The one cool thing is that the PS store is now integrated into the home screen, so it doesn't actually take you to a separate app. That's amazing, because the PS store on the PS4 is absolute dog shit.
Yep.
It's like, it's so bad. It's so slow. It's a nightmare trying to find stuff on there. So hopefully it'll be a little bit faster now. Other than that, yeah, go check out the video. It's cool that we got to see it. I just don't think a lot of this stuff is going to come to be.
I thought it was cool, especially for like trophy hunters, where you could see like the trophy and it tells you how long it will take you to beat it or like get it, you know? That's a cool feature. But I feel like these features aren't like absolutely necessary, you know what I mean? Like, I don't think those guides are going to be picked up.
No.
Because we're accustomed to just searching for it.
But. Right. Yeah. And also, like, that feature you just mentioned, like, how long it'll take you to get a trophy, is that going to be across the board for all trophies? Like, or is it, again, a developer-by-developer basis?
Because I think I heard that it's going to be based on algorithm.
Maybe. Yeah. But again, like, that isn't always an indication of how, like, it could be wrong. I don't know, because trophies are so weird. Like, you can find an exploit afterwards that changes how fast you can get it or whatever. So, I don't know. A lot of these features are, like, really, really minute and, like you said, sort of unnecessary. To me, the most important thing is how fast the UI is and how responsive it is. We've complained ad nauseum of how horrible the PS4 UI is, and I mean, even trying to just join a party, it just freezes your system. And I have a Pro, like, it shouldn't be doing that.
No.
So yeah. So anyway, yeah, you guys can check out the video. It's like a 10-minute long video.
Wish we saw the broadcasting features.
Oh yeah, I guess we'll see that later.
Yeah, probably.
I imagine every week we're gonna start seeing stuff up until the system's launch. Yeah. Man, not long now. By the time you guys really hear isn't. This episode, by the time you guys hear this episode, we will be 1, 2, 3.5 weeks away.
Crazy.
From the PS5 and Xbox Series X. Wild stuff. Chris, that's it for the news.
Wow.
That's it for the news. So do you want to take a little break and then come back and get to some listener questions?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Let's do it. Let's take a little break and we'll be right back.
Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
All right, everybody, we are back. Let's get to some listener questions. Jesus Christ, if I could talk. Let's get to some listener questions, Chris. Remember, you can always reach us on Twitter at ActiveQuestShow, via email at ActiveQuestPodcast@gmail.com. Or every Wednesday, we post our Twitter thread asking for questions and comments from our lovely audience. We've got 3 listener questions to get through today. First up is from the biggest of average Josh boys. And that's that's what it says here. That's not my words.
I wrote that down. That's just what it says here.
friend of the show, Josh over from IndiePod, asks, so how excited are you for the clearly teased announcements of all the BK games getting a remastered version for PS5? Okay, so this is really funny. For those who don't know, this is in reference to the Burger King games that came out for the Xbox 360 and original Xbox. It was a tie-in with Burger King. It was sort of a promotional thing, and there were 3 games. Big Bumpin', Sneak King, and what's the other one? What's the third one? And the third one, Pocket Bike Racer. So these were horrible games, and all of them basically just like were advertisements for Burger King. The one that I feel like has had the biggest sort of cult following, and it's really like ironic cult following, is Sneak King. And this was right around the time when Assassin's Creed, I think, was getting really big.
Right.
I'm pretty sure. Let me make
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Yeah, I think so too.
The day, yeah, 2006. Oh, you know what? Assassin's Creed came out the next year. So maybe that doesn't make sense. But anyway, it's kind of like Assassin's Creed. You like hide in the bushes or whatever, and you jump out and sneak up on, you know, one of the pedestrians, and you give them a Burger King sandwich, basically. Anyway, to Josh's question, are you excited at the possibility of a remastered for all these? Yeah, that sounds awesome, Josh. Have you played these games, Chris?
No, I haven't. But I do think it would be cool if they got re-released in some sort of way, just for game preservation.
Sure. Yeah, that's true.
I think like someone like Limited Run or Devolver would have a lot of fun with those. And maybe like, try to make a good game out of them.
Right. Yeah, it's just obviously they're like budget titles and whatever, but Pocket Bike Racer is sort of like Mario Kart, like a kart racer. And then Big Bumpin' is like a, I guess it's sort of like a bumper car game.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of weird. So yeah, Josh, I'm just so excited. Grayson Morales, friend of the show, features editor over at Twinfinite, asks, what's your most anticipated next-gen title? Here, why don't we do something interesting, Chris? Why don't we try to guess each other's? What do you
think? Okay. Yeah, I can do that.
Okay, let me see. Give me just a second to think about yours. Interesting. Let me actually pull up the...
I've got yours already. It's so obvious.
I think I've got yours. Okay. I think I've got yours. All right. So, here, I'll go first. Chris, I believe your most anticipated next-gen game is either Marvel's Spider-Man or Demon Souls, maybe?
No?
Okay.
I would say yours is Demon Souls for sure.
Obviously, yeah. Mine is Demon Souls. What's your most anticipated next-gen game?
I feel bad about this because of what's going on with the author, but Hogwarts Legacy is my most anticipated game.
Oh. Game.
Yeah.
I guess in my head, I was thinking launch game.
Right.
But he didn't actually say that. He says just what's your most anticipated next-gen title. Yeah. That's rough, and we talked about this when Bella was on the show. I don't know. I'm kind of the mind right now that I should probably not even get that game.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe get it used or something, but I'm gonna follow Josh's advice and donate while I'm buying that game. Be the charity edition, I guess. I'm just excited just to explore that world in game form, and I've been waiting for a Harry Potter game for decades, new one. So something like this, an action RPG where you have decision making in a world that I love, I'm totally down. Like, usually, I would have said Final Fantasy 16. But to me, the characters don't look that interesting, and the whole, the setting seems way too, like, medieval for my liking, so, yeah.
I'm with you on the Harry Potter thing. In your defense, this game looks really fucking awesome.
Yeah, so I'm pissed. Yeah, I'm pissed about it, because, it sucks. It really sucks, but...
Because on behalf of all... of Active Quest, fuck JK Rowling.
Yeah, fuck JK Rowling.
Yeah. So, all right, we've got one more question, and this is surprising, Chris. We've got a question from number one Turner and Hooch fan.
Hooch!
They ask, your boy Hooch here, have you guys ever thought about visiting the Corn Palace? I've been once and was shuck wild. I don't know what that means. I'm Googling the Corn Palace right now.
Me too. I put in Corn Police. That's something different.
Oh my god, this is so weird. So it looks kind of like the Taj Mahal. Oh, wow. Here, I'm Googling.
That is very strange.
Okay, here's what Wikipedia says. The Corn Palace, commonly advertised as the world's only Corn Palace... and the Mitchell Corn Palace, is a multi-purpose arena facility located in Mitchell, South Dakota, United States. The Moorish Revival Building is decorated with crop art. The murals and designs covering the building are made from corn and other grains, and a new design is constructed each year. The Corn Palace is a popular tourist destination visited by up to 500,000 people per year, or each year. The Corn Palace serves as a community serves the community as a venue for concerts, sports events, exhibits, and other community events. Each year, the Corn Palace is celebrated with a citywide festival, the Corn Palace Festival. Historically, it was held at the harvest time, at harvest time in September, but recently it has been held at the end of August. Other popular annual events include the Corn Palace Stampede Rodeo in July and the Corn Palace Polka Festival in September. It is also home to the Dakota Wesleyan University Tigers and the Mitchell High School Colonels basketball teams. What's the question? Have you guys ever thought about? No, I haven't thought about it previously, but now I kind of want to, Chris. This seems very interesting, at least for the architecture.
It seems very odd.
Seems like a thing number one Turner and Hooch fan would be into.
I didn't even know there was red corn or green corn. So I learned something new today.
I would love to visit this, number one Turner and Hooch fan. Thank you for bringing that up. And with that, Chris, let's get to what we've been playing. It's going to be a little bit lighter, at least for me, because I've really been playing the same stuff, Fortnite, Warzone. There's only really one game I want to touch on here. Why don't I go first, Chris, and then throw it over to you. So I've been playing Ghost of Tsushima Legends, which is the multiplayer expansion for Ghost of Tsushima. Just came out. It's free. You guys can download it right now. Well, it's free if you have Ghost of Tsushima. And I think my biggest takeaway for this is that it's way more robust than I thought. I don't know if that was just me not paying attention to the marketing of it, or if they were like purposely not showing everything, but there's like quite a bit to do here. It's essentially like a games as service where there's like a loot system and like a rarity system with your gear, and you have to, it's kind of like Destiny where like you put on your gear and it raises the overall level of your character Yeah, and it's really cool. Like there's charms, there's different weapons, there's different like sort of equipment you can use, different power-ups and perks and stuff. It is like fully robust. Something Josh always brings up is during the 360 and PS3 era where every game had a multiplayer or a multiplayer portion that was just tacked on. This is like the opposite of that. I thought it was going to be like a tacked on multiplayer thing that like totally didn't need it, but it's really cool. You have to like revive your teammates when they go down and stuff. It's like straight up like games as a service.
How are the missions designed? Are they just like Destiny then? Or
I think that's kind of what they're going for. Right now it's actually a little bit limited, which is totally fine because it's free. Like that's the whole thing. You can't get mad at the lack of content really because it's free. So there's two modes currently. There's like a story mode that you can play through with people, and that's like a more linear sort of narrative based
thing.
And that's cool because there's like eight or so levels that you can play for that. And so I actually really like that. I haven't played a whole lot of that, but the mode I have spent a lot of time with is the survival mode. And this is sort of like your horde mode where you've got waves of enemies coming at you, and it's sort of set up where you have to defend these points across the map, and it's the enemies will attack a random point, so you have to like make sure you're in a good spot to get to any of them to defend them quickly. And yeah, there's like wave after wave, and the waves get harder and harder, that sort of thing. And there's like a store you can buy stuff from within the map itself when you gain, as you gain money. And they give you different perks and stuff. It's really cool, and it feels so good. Like I know how much you love Ghost of Tsushima and how the single player portion feels. Just imagine that, but with multiplayer, like with other players. So like I guess in my head I was expecting it to feel a little bit differently, like a little maybe less refined. But it's straight up that awesome gameplay that you know and love, plus just all of these games.
Great performance as well with three other players.
Yeah, absolutely. There's even like a pinging system where you can like ping like revive station or healing stations, that sort of thing, or ping where an enemy is. It's a really awesome foundation, I think, for what could be like one of the flagship games of service games for PlayStation. It's just, I guess my complaint, and again, it's free, so you can't really get too mad, is that there isn't a whole lot to do right now. Like there are only four main survival missions to do. There are different difficulties within them, but basically you're going to have to play the same missions over and over again sort of thing. But within the challenges, there's mentions of like raids and stuff. So like there's going to be more, there's going to be more content. Yeah, you definitely need to look into it. It's really,
is there,
really cool.
Is there any microtransactions or anything that will keep it going?
Not from what I can tell. No. Okay. Maybe they plan on adding that at a later time, but no. There isn't any. I could be wrong. I hope I'm not wrong about that, but I don't think so. I don't think there's any microtransactions or anything. So yeah, it's really cool. And again, it's free if you have Ghost of Tsushima, which that game sold really well. So you probably do have this game. So go download the update and jump in. You don't have to play up to, like, you don't have to get to a certain point in the story, like the single player portion, to play this. I think you can start playing right away. So yeah, definitely jump into that. Chris. Oh my god, you've been playing, for a change, you've been playing Super Smash Bros.
Yeah.
I guess you tried out Steve, right?
I did try out Steve. I played it just for a guide, really. But Steve's interesting. He's very unique. He plays just like Minecraft. He's building stuff. He's mining for materials around the stage, and it's kind of weird because if you're on a stage like Shadow Moses Island, you know, the one from Metal Gear Solid, you can mine for like steel or iron as opposed to wood in Jungle Japes. So
that's
depending
really cool.
on the stage you're on, it changes the types of materials you get.
What do the different materials do different things?
So it ranks in kind of terms of power. So like diamond's like the strongest one you can get. Wood's like the weakest one, right?
Interesting. Okay.
So that gets super interesting. But I do find him weird in Smash, personally. First thing, the art style kind of clashes with the game. And it looks odd, especially when like he's rolling up from the ground, because he's kind of like, it looks unnatural and it looks very robotic, but
there's just
not it's part of the joke
way.
It's part of the joke, right. I guess.
And I don't know how else they could have done it, right?
Yeah,
like,
and
it's, yeah,
I think in 1v1 kind of matches it's hard to mine as well. It's really hard to manage that and keep them at bay.
So I see what you're saying.
What you have to do is you have to mine the materials and then go to the crafting table and get like a new sword or a new pickaxe.
Yeah. Man, so that's really cool that they like, cause it would be easy to just throw in a Steve skin, you know, or some, you know, a model that looked like Steve, and then just give them, you know, a bow and a sword and that, you know, that's it. But I love how these characters are integrated into Smash with the foundation of what those games are.
They definitely brought the mechanics in.
Right. That's cool. That's really cool. And so I haven't played Smash in a while. How does it work with the unlocking characters? They're not like available right away, right? You have to like unlock them, right?
It's DLC. So you buy it and then it's instantly available to you.
Okay.
You would unlock the core cast of characters through playing. So.
Okay, gotcha. Cool. What else, Chris?
I played the Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory demo that just released. It came with 4 or 5 songs. So I just checked it out. Basically, it's a rhythm action game take on the series. And basically, you're just going through all the music from the Kingdom Hearts games. Which is fun, because like the soundtracks are amazing from Yoko Shimomura. And she's actually been asking for this for a while, because if you remember correctly, Final Fantasy had a music rhythm series called Theatrhythm, right?
Theatrhythm, yeah, I played that.
Yeah, there was an instance where she met the game director, and she was like, she gave him all the CDs that she has for the Kingdom Hearts series, and it's just like, please make a theater of fun Kingdom Hearts game. Right. So yeah, that's it's really fun. The game itself though, it's kind of like Guitar Hero in a way, where you see like notes coming towards you, but it's heartless or enemies instead. So you're swinging, like, you have three different notes. You have Donald on the left, you have Sora on the middle, and then Goofy on the right. And there's a different button attached to them. So L1 is Donald, X is Sora, and R1 is Goofy. And it kind of feels cumbersome at first. But once you really get into it, you start to learn how it works. And it can get crazy too. I think it's going to have that Through the Fire and the Flames moment where there's going to be like an insane song. And it's going to look incredibly impressive when people can pull it off.
So you mentioned those three characters. Are there other characters as well?
Oh yeah, there's going to be way more. I think there's going to be over 20... But that's just for the demo. Yes, just for the demo, we were able to play as that. There's also a co-op mode in the demo that I wasn't able to play. That has Sora and Riku together. And that itself is a unique mode because you don't have any party members with you. It's just the co-op partner. So it's playing around with the music rhythm kind of mechanics in a really cool way. And like basically your party is like striking enemies as they go along, right, to the rhythm. So it's pretty cool just to see them just running around in the worlds we know and love and just hitting the enemies as they go. It's super compelling, especially for a Kingdom Hearts fan.
You mentioned earlier, or I think the other day or something, that you were sort of questioning the $60 price point for this.
Yeah.
Have you come around on that, or do you still feel like that?
I do think it's a bit expensive. I probably would have gone $50 or $40, somewhere around that price range. There is going to be quite a bit of content to it. There's going to be over 10 hours of gameplay, from what I've heard. It's going to be over 130 songs in the game with multiple different characters. I think the value could be there, especially with a unique storyline that is important to the Kingdom Hearts series, which has been kind of thing contentious with people, you know, because like, not everyone is into rhythm games and they're basically being forced to play if they want to catch up with the story, right? So.
And you did mention that this is canon.
Yes.
All of the stuff in there.
Oh yeah, so it's like, definitely canon, yeah.
Right, so like, but your point is like, you can't really skip this one if you're a Kingdom Hearts fan.
It goes into a lot about Kairi's origin, so it's kind of important.
Okay. And which one's Kairi? Is she the duck? I don't know.
She's Sora's love interest. I guess.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
How stupid of me. Oh, God. All right, cool. So that's awesome. Yeah, bummer about the price, but seems like maybe we'll get a copy.
I'm buying it. Okay. If we don't get a copy, I'm going to buy it for sure.
Sure. Chris, let's talk a little bit Resident Evil 3 before we wrap up for the day. You just got a copy, hopefully on sale.
I actually got it from the library.
Oh, so... free, basically.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Cool.
So yeah, check your local library if you want to play some games that are like short or you know, not sure on, right? So I think it's a perfect way to do that. I'm intrigued. I'm very intrigued because so far the pacing has been excellent. Nemesis is really daunting. And the puzzles are easy to understand so far, so I'm digging it. But the one biggest issue I have is the dashing mechanic, because I feel like it's imprecise.
Right.
Also, I hate it when like whenever a zombie grabs you, there's no way you can retaliate. Like I'm tapping X as fast as I can, but I'm still not able to kick him off or anything, you know.
Like, I think there's something you can do to get them off of you. Oh, you know what? Oh, I know what it is. You have to have a knife on you, I think is what it is. Or maybe that's from 2. I can't remember because there's slight differences between 2 and 3. And I know in 2, I know for a fact in 2, you can get a knife and it's like a limited item. And if you have it on you when a zombie grabs you, you'll stab them in the face like automatically. Mm-hmm. It'll use up the knife, but you won't take damage. So maybe that's in 3. I can't remember. I blasted through 3.
I think 3, it's an item you can use, but I don't think it breaks. So there's a difference there.
Yeah, okay.
And so, also, I'm not a fan of how it's controlled, because I'm used to, like, holding L1 and then slashing. Just to instantly switch the knife, but you have to press the down on the D-pad and then aim and then swing, right? So there's one extra step there that's kind of like strange to me so far.
I see, yeah.
Yeah.
So now, how far are you? How far are you in it?
Very, about an hour in, I'd say.
Oh, so are you still in the city portion?
Yes.
Okay. Man, it's so wild talking about this game in terms of time, because you can speedrun this game in, like, an hour. Literally.
Right. I've already finished it. Don't worry.
Yeah, maybe even less. There's, like, the really good speedrunners. You can probably do it in maybe 40 minutes or something. So when you say you're an hour in, I'm like, okay, what does that mean exactly?
I'm trying to figure out, so the last thing... What that happened was an Umbrella agent killed another of his team because he was infected. Yeah. That's how far I'm
gotcha. Yeah, so this game's really strange in that there's a lot of really cool things in it. And like, man, some of the ending boss battle I think is really fucking cool. And like some of the segments are really cool. And then it just ends. Like it's just so bizarre. Like you're just like, oh, wow, that was the end of the game. Okay. All right. And I remember I was telling you this before we started recording. I got that right at midnight as soon as it was live, and I beat it in one sitting the first night it was out in like 4 hours, my first playthrough. So like, that's just my biggest complaint with this is that and with it being a remake, you have something to reference, right? So I would say probably about half the game is missing, like from Resident Evil 3, you know?
Definitely feels rushed, if that's
the case. I mean, they wanted it out in a year, right?
Yeah, that's just nuts.
Yeah, to me, I would have liked to have seen them spend another year on this and put the full version of, you know, the full Resident Evil 3 in there.
You don't think they'll make Resident Evil 3 Part 2 or something?
No. No, because...
A director's cut or something like that?
Maybe a director's cut, I don't know. But do you charge full price for that? Like, I don't know. It's just
make
so
that
weird.
A PS5 release, Xbox Series X release, and bam, that's another $60 right there.
It's crazy because there's this section, and I think the most egregious thing that they left out there, or the most egregious example of them leaving something out, is the clock tower section from Resident Evil 3. That's like a major portion of the game, and in remake, you fight. Well, I kind of don't want to spoil it, but basically, you just get to see the clock tower. You just see it. That's all it is.
And
then it moves on to the next part. So. For them to do like a part two, no, I don't think that's the case, because the game ends like it. You're like, okay, that's the ending. It's just bizarre that it was so fast, you know. I think maybe a director's cut, something like that. I don't know. You'll probably have it finished by the time we record next week. So
that'd be a good spoiler cast too.
Yeah, we didn't actually do that.
I do want to mention this. I do think the writing's very good. Like, I really like the quips that Jill makes with Carlos. Yeah. That was great.
Right.
It's got so some many great elements. Moments. Yeah.
There's so many great moments. Like, I love... Yeah, I mean, I think the writing's pretty good. And Nemesis is scary. It's weird because Nemesis in the original, I think, would pop out randomly. Like, at any time. Versus in this game, there are scripted moments when he comes out. So, like, that's kind of a big problem people had with it. This game has a lot of problems. So, anyway. But I'm excited you're playing it, and I absolutely recommend it. I just think you should, at most, spend $30 on it.
Do you think people who haven't played the original would like this better?
I still think even if you haven't played the original, you would get through this and think it's too short.
Okay.
But it's cool. Like, it's good. What's there is good. It's just there isn't really a lot there. That's the problem. So, I don't know. But anyway, we will, yeah, I guess we'll report back next week.
Yes.
Okay. Chris, that pretty much wraps us up for episode 90.
Yeah.
A bit of a shorter episode there. Well, we hope Josh gets his power and internet situation figured out so he can be on for next week.
Yeah,
so,
don't worry, yeah. Guys. I'm going to be talking about Xbox Game Pass all week next week.
So yeah, Chris, anything you want to plug before we say goodbye for the day?
Yeah, you can find my written work at The Gamer and Tech Raptor. Have a bunch of guides out there right now. Yeah, you could check out Go Beyond and My Hero Academia podcast each and every Wednesday. We get super geeky about each episode. So if you're a lover of the series and can't get enough of it, check out our show.
Cool.
Yeah. And I'm also bringing back Let's Speak Geek.
That's your podcast.
That yeah.
Cool. Awesome. As for me, you can find me on Twitter at Joseph Yaden. In terms of stuff I'm working on, I've got a lot of Demon Souls coverage I'm doing right now. For Games Radar, Game Skinny, I'm going to be doing stuff for Fanbyte. Just look out for that in the coming weeks. And what's weird is that I'm starting with the PS3 version, and I think I'm updating the articles once the PS5 version comes out. So I'm already getting started on all that. So you can look forward to that. I also have a couple guides on Ghost of Tsushima Legends over at Game Skinny, so you guys can check that out as well. And other than that, you can find my work at Digital Trends, The Escapist. Oh, I just had a feature published in Official PlayStation Magazine, so if you guys are in the UK... Yeah, if you guys are in the UK, you can check that out as well.
Hey, governor! I want my cup of tea!
God damn it. All right, Chris.
I can do a fake British accent even though I'm British.
I really like your fake British accent. It sounds bad, but I like it. All right, Chris, let's go get a haircut and a beard cut. What do you think?
That sounds great.
We definitely need it. All right, everybody, we appreciate you for listening, and we will catch you next week for episode 91.
Cheerio! Bye. Cheerio!